All right, and welcome in to an absolutely beautiful day, Chamber of Commerce Day in Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to the Chase and Big Joe Show. I'm Big Joe, Dr. Crane behind the glass, the one and twos. Chase McCabe, I'm telling you what, he's today giving a TED Talk. He's at the Rayon City Whataburger. So when Chase is off, we automatically, it's law, we have to default to our good buddy Mike Organ from the Tennessee, and who's going to sit in with us today. Mike, good afternoon, buddy.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good to be with you instead of being from my remote office at the Rayon City studio.
Yeah. How was that over there?
Well, I saw Chase as I was leaving, and it's we still got the one booth and out and back.
I hear the Rayon City Whataburger is pretty excellent.
It's the best. It's a two story. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Right. It's pretty nice. It's it ain't bad. I eat there once a day.
I saw you a few weeks ago over there at Rayon. You hosted a yoga class on the town square. Went really well.
Four people
showed up.
Yep. Yep. At our Speedos. And
there it goes. Good yoga class.
It was.
Good time to do that as well. Nah, Chase is off today. So you're here with us. We've got Scott Ramsey at 1 o'clock. It's now the Liberty. He's the executive director of the National Sport. What's his title?
He's the he's the CEO and president of the National Sports Council and CEO and president of the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl.
All right. My goal today is to convince him to get you to dress up like an emu for the bowl.
I'm up for that. I've got Doug's cell phone. I got it at the press conference. And, I can do that.
Did he show up?
No, but we were told he's going to be very present in Nashville in December.
I would love that.
Scott introduced me to the CEO, which – I've met some wealthy people, but I bet that guy was probably as wealthy as anybody I've ever met. I mean, think about that. Liberty Mutual.
Yeah.
They're on my TV more than any show I watch. They're nonstop.
All the time.
It's like a reel. And I was so impressed. That think of where they've gone with the sponsorship from American General, which was downtown Nashville.
Yep.
Nice local sponsor. Homepoint.com.
I don't remember that.
Remember that?
No.
It was... I think it was like a preceded like eBay, and it was like where they sell stuff on TV.
Okay. I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, and it was located out in Hickory Hollow. And then
probably why I didn't hear about it.
And they didn't have one, then Franklin American Mortgage, and then
we got to get your face on our stream right now.
There.
Follow us on YouTube.
Can we start over?
Twitter.
I wasn't known.
And your makeup looks great. All right, so it went from Homepoint 2.0 to Franklin American
Mortgage for 12 years. And I'm sorry, there was somebody in between there. Who was in between? Somebody. And then there was TransPerfect was the last one. TransPerfect was an international.
Right.
And this one's international.
What was Gaylord Music City Bowl? Wasn't that part of it?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was presented. Yeah, you're right. That was before Franklin American. That was presented by Brickstone.
So now it's Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl.
Yep.
Okay. And if you don't see Liberty Mutual, Scott Ramsey comes and he finds you.
We had lunch over at one time when they were Franklin American Mortgage because he was... Frank Scott, I don't think, has the capacity to get mad, but he was not happy. So my editor and I had lunch with him, and we talked about it. And we just told him, this is when it was still newspaper, all 100%. We're like, we don't have that kind of space to write Franklin American Mortgage. Go out and find a shorter sponsor.
Right. It gets it done and do that.
Well, what was funny is that he wanted us to do that, but then we checked online, and all they had online was Music City Bowl.
Oh.
So we called him back today. And so, yeah.
Get that money back from him.
Yeah.
You're with us till 2 o'clock today. All right, so we're going to get our question today in a moment here, but you went viral last week for something. And look, I'm telling you, all good sports writers, the last thing you want to do that you look for is to go viral, right?
Yeah.
Like you and Rex Road and Gentry are great writers. You're not looking to go. If it happens, fantastic. But you guys aren't this yellow journalism. You throw it out there and think, oh, I'm going to get some money. But the Eddie George thing. You talk to Eddie all the time. His comments about paraphrasing how Amy Adams Strunk has set the franchise back 10 years, all that stuff. Were you surprised how many people are still talking about this?
Yeah, and I think the thing that upset a lot of people was Eddie said, that he was sorry to see Brian lose his job, Brian Callahan lose his job. And he said, being in the profession, I know how hard it is to build a winner and change the culture. And that to me is nothing, because he is in the business. Yep. He does know. He understands that. But I think a lot of people were just so glad that Brian Callahan got fired that they felt like he was saying it was a mistake. He wasn't saying a mistake. He followed it up with, by saying, but they didn't think it was a good fit, so they moved on. And that was in the story.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing. And as far as, you know, where they are now, he said, when I was there, we had a blueprint. And well, at first he said we had an identity and we had a blueprint on how to get to that identity, the identity we wanted.
He ain't wrong.
No. Ask the guy that sits here between us on the next show, Derek Mason. He'll say the same thing.
Right.
And they all say that. And that's all that, you know. But I think the thing that people thought that he was saying, that it was a mistake to fire Brian Callahan, which, you know, Eddie knew it wasn't working. He just said he hated to see him lose his job. And everybody hates it. Well, most people say they hate for people to lose a job. But with these buyouts from this
right?
LSU. And
so the comments about Amy, I mean, I didn't think it was derogatory. I just took him as factual. She has set the franchise.
Well, with what his what she's been advised to do with going back to the firing of John Robinson. I mean, you know, the four firings. Is it four firings they've made? Yeah.
Vrabel, Callahan, Rand Carthon, John Robinson.
Four firings they've made in 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sets you back.
It does.
It does. There's no doubt.
So was Eddie surprised by the I'm not saying backlash, but was he surprised that – because, I mean, look, it's Eddie, George.
Yeah. No, he knows that what he says has impact. He, you know, and I've told you before, I hope he gets an interview over there for this job. He got an interview for the Bears job in February. So I think if the Bears are going to do that, he had a relationship there. He had had done an internship with them. And so he was close to that franchise. But of all franchises, if somebody's going to give him an interview, then the Titans should at least, and I don't want to say courtesy, but just bring him in, help him go through the process, learn what it's like. So I'm hoping for that. And I think, you know, but I don't think that's in jeopardy at all whatsoever.
Would a bigger jump for him be to another college job? Like, I know he's in the MAC now, but maybe a Power 4 job? There's a lot of job openings.
That'll be his next move. As soon as the Florida job opened up, I saw a lot of conversation on X about his name being thrown out until some higher profile guys got involved. And
hey, look, you know this. I mean, if you're the head coach, it's who you hire around you is massively important. He hires the right guys around him, he could be successful.
And he's done that already. He did that at Tennessee State, and he's done it at Bowling Green. He's got that same staff plus some, because he can have more coaches. But, you know, Brandon Fisher is a great defensive coach. Jeff Fisher's son, still his defensive coordinator. And he took his offensive coordinator, who was from UT Martin, with him, and had worked under Jason Simpson, which is Ty Simpson's daddy.
Right.
That's right. At Alabama. And he's got good coaches around him. So he's got a bright future in this profession.
I hope he doesn't do a Watson Brown. So remember, Watson Brown was the hot OC at Vandy in 02. I mean, sorry, in 82. Went to Cincinnati for, what, a year? Then went to Rice for 2 years?
Yep.
And Watson regrets that. I mean, you start bouncing around. So I like to see Eddie at Bowling Green for about 3 years, establish himself, get out of there.
Yeah, and I think that's what you'll see. I think you're right about Watson. Watson will tell you to this day that he was a good coach that made bad coach decisions.
I mean,
job decisions.
Was it a year at Cincinnati or 2 years?
It may have been a year. I don't recall.
Rice.
I do know I covered a game, though. They came here and played Vanderbilt while he was there.
Really?
Yeah, and I covered that game. Yep.
I know he beat Paterno. His first game in Cincinnati, they beat Penn State, defending national champions.
Yeah, so.
We have so much useless, worthless information in our heads.
Now, there's people out there taking notes right now. They're doing like the Ursay owner. They're taking notes.
They're
jotting things, everything we're saying now.
I love not. That. Oh, I love that. All right, our question of the day is, and we love this, brought to you by Aries Tactical, what is the worst weather condition you've ever set through a sporting event? What is the worst sporting event you've been to where the weather was awful? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'd love for you to call. You can text us as well. Mike Organ, what is the worst weather sporting event you ever sat through?
This is going to be, okay, I'm not going to be able to beat Joe Biddle, who sat through an earthquake in the World Series.
Okay.
But
is that weather related? Is it? Is that earthquake weather related?
Thank you, yeah, Dr. Crane. Thank
it's,
you.
It's the plate tectonics, man. The plate, they all move.
That's what I was about to say. It's the plate tectonics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but all right, mine was pretty good. Okay, Georgia Southern MTSU football. Hurricane, oh.
What year is this?
Hugo.
What was it, 89?
No.
Chip Walters, let us know what Hurricane Hugo year was.
92. No, it would have been 80, 88 or 89. Okay. I think you're right, 89. So Georgia Southern's unbeaten. MTSU goes down there to play in the national playoffs.
Oh, okay. It's playoff. Okay.
Yeah. ESPN is going to broadcast it, but there's no lights at Georgia Southern. So ESPN brings in portable lights.
No.
Which turns out to be a mess because the hurricane comes in and you've got these lights that are set up like a basketball goal in your front yard, you know, where you get the water or the sand in the base.
Yeah, awful.
They've got these holy temporary cow lights they've set up. So John Stanford, the AD, goes fishing that day with the
in Statesboro, Georgia?
Yeah, with the Georgia Southern AD, Bucky, can't remember his last name, but he was from here. So they go fishing, and they come back, and they say it's going to be bad because they were on the water all day, and they could tell when you're on the water, the different things the water that does, they said this is going to be bad. So we get to the game. And they talk about canceling it and on, but they said, no, we got so much money invested. ESPN has come in with these lights. And so they said, let's go ahead and play it. And it hits just about the time the kickoff.
And you're there.
And I'm there in the press box with Monty Hill from the Daily News Journal and Chuck Morris, who's been around sports forever.
Right.
Worked with you at NBC, at Channel 4. The three of us have ridden down there together. And in Monty's BMW, and I
fancy.
I say that because there was some background to it. So first, the game is you can't watch it because it's raining so hard. It's like being in a car without your windshield wipers, like you're going 80 miles an hour down the interstate with no windshield wipers.
All right,
that's exactly what it was like. You couldn't see anything. So we're trying to, we can see, you know, when it's light lit up a little bit. The lights are going back and forth, so it's the light on the field is unstable. So toward the end of the game, and Georgia Southern wins, I look at Monty and I said, how are we going to get quotes? I'm not going out there in this. And Monty goes, I have no idea because I'm not either. So I got up and I go over to Ed Given, the old sports information director from MTSU, and I'm about to ask him, you know, what are we going to do? Could y'all bring boots up here?
Did Middle lose?
Yes. Okay. Georgia Southern won. And I'm going to say, so I'm saying, you know, are we going to have to go down there and talk to Boots? I didn't say anything. I walked up behind Ed and I looked at it. He's writing something down on a legal pad. He's writing down, it rained on both sides. We don't have anything that we can, we have no excuses for this game. Georgia Southern was the better team tonight, blah, blah, blah. He's writing down Boots' quotes in the press box. He hadn't talked to Boots because game's still going on.
Oh, my Lord.
And I've talked to Boots and Ed both since then over the years, and they both laugh about it. So I don't say anything to Ed. I walk back over to Monty. I said, we're not going to have to go outside. I said, the quote's over there on that yellow pad, that legal pad.
Yes.
So that was the way the game went. So we're leaving, and we're in Monty's car, and it's backed up because it was packed. You know, it was full. It was completely packed. And we're trying to get out, and it's just bumper to bumper. And Chuck says, hey, an associate assistant AD told me to take a shortcut up here, take this first right. So Monty goes, you sure? And he goes, yeah, yeah. So we take this right out. We go about 20 miles, and we're not seeing anything. And Monty's getting madder and madder at Chuck.
No GPS.
No, absolutely not. No cell phones.
Nothing, right?
So Chuck's getting more and more nervous. Monty's getting madder and madder. We come to a tree that's laying down in the road. We have to go around. We go another 5 miles, and we see a sign that says either Savannah or the coast, 20 miles.
You went the wrong way.
We have gone halfway from Statesboro into the eye of the hurricane. We're headed right toward the hurricane. We're supposed to be going toward Atlanta.
Right.
and getting away from it in Monty's 5 Series BMW, which will fly. That's why I said it was a BMW. We felt good about it that we could get out of it if we could ever get on the road. But we're going right into it. So Monty immediately starts calling Chuck Road Map Morris. We turn around, we head back, and Monty's getting madder and madder at Chuck.
Well, yeah, heck yeah.
So we get to the hotel, and we've got reservations, and Chuck's staying with Monty because they're both from Murfreesboro, and we're unloading, and Chuck comes over to me and says, "Hey, can I stay in your room? I don't think Monty wants me in his room."
Was that a Tracy Ham game?
That was Tracy Ham, was quarterback number 8.
One of the best college quarterbacks of all
absolutely, time. Absolutely.
All time. That's awesome. All right, we'll talk more about that. But again, our question of the day, what's the worst sporting event weather-wise you've ever sat through? Tim, hold on the line. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni National Hotel, a 1025 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe's show. Hey, tonight, join some good people for some great times at the Omni National Hotel. Bar Lines have called If This Bar Could Talk, Songs and Stories from Bar Lines, featuring Jay Ford, Trinity Wiseman, Alex Zills, Elizabeth B., and Trent Fisher. Yeah, the son of Jeff Fisher. That's 5 o'clock. It's free. It is a fun time down at the Omni. There's valet parking for you down there. Head on there down there tonight. If This Bar Could Talk, Omni National Hotel, proud sponsor of the Chase and Big Joe Show. If This Bar Could Talk, starting at 5 o'clock, free show. And I'm understanding, Mike Organ, that you are going down there tonight. Maybe.
I am going.
Turn your mic on there, buddy. There we go. All right. There we go.
Am I on?
You're on now.
I am going, and you know what we've already accomplished on this show is we've mentioned both of Jeff Fisher's sons.
We have. That was the goal, right?
We're done.
In our lengthy pre-show meeting to get in there tonight and get it done.
Brandon Fisher and Trent Fisher.
I hear he is that Jeff's son's very talented.
I didn't even know that.
I wouldn't know what that means.
No.
I don't know that stuff. Our question today is, what's the worst weather conditioning sporting event you ever sat through? Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. Tim, welcome to the show, Tim. What's the worst sporting event weather-wise you've ever been to?
Well, it was the worst weather, but it's the best game.
Oh, okay.
It was 1980-81 when Vanderbilt beat UT with Whit Taylor. It was raining. It was sleeting. Everything in between. I had a poncho on and got wetter wearing it than I did if I'd been without it. And to see Whit run around the end and score that touchdown and beat UT.
Was that at Vandy's? Was that at Vandy or Knoxville?
That is Vandy.
So that was 82.
Okay, 82, yes.
Yeah.
And a good friend of mine painted a portrait of the play that the caller's talking about when Whit goes around the right end, holds the ball up, looks back over his shoulder. Greg Hammer, a friend of mine who was a pitcher at UT, of all things, a baseball pitcher at Tennessee, Greg Hammer painted that. Yes.
That had to hurt him.
And a little bit of backstory on that. My dad worked there at Vanderbilt. He worked in the gym. He did maintenance. And I knew Coach Skinner, played golf with him, and knew about. And I bought tickets. I could buy one, get one free. Well, I had people back then offer me $500 for the two tickets, but I only paid $100 for two season tickets at that time. And I just said, man, if I sell these, Daddy get in trouble and get fired. I said, I can't do that. And I said, besides, I may not ever see them beat UT again in my life. So I'll be there.
Did you go to the All-American Bowl in the next month down in Birmingham when they got beat by Air Force?
Yes, I was down there.
Yeah, oh, man.
And we got beat by what it was like 35, 37, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly right. Tim, thanks for the memory, brother.
All right. Thank
Appreciate
you. Bye-bye.
A few others. We got one guy on the text line says that Mike Organ, I was there. The Hugo Bowl, Statesboro, Georgia, in the student section. You are correct about what happened that day.
Yep. Irk Russell was the coach. And, like I said, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be bad. But when John Stanford and the Georgia Southern AD came back and said it's going to be really bad because we could tell from what was going on the water.
Devin and Dixon says, my sophomore year of football at Dixon County High School, we played Ravenwood. As soon as we kicked off, Hurricane Katrina blows in. It was raining so hard sideways we couldn't see the game from the sidelines. That goes back to 2005 right there. Ricky, Christmas Eve 2017, Rams here in Nashville against the Titans. Freezing rain, not snow. The rain was literally falling, then freezing. Super cold day. Yeah, I'm not sitting through that.
You remember the Cowboys and Titans game on Christmas Day?
2000.
Okay. For Christmas that year, my parents had never seen a Titans game, and I never wanted to see a Titans game, but for some reason I bought them tickets for a game. They went to that game. They left in the second quarter and never went back.
1978 says, I've got two. 1993 Ice Bowl in Dallas. That open roof made it like sitting in a freezer with no air moving. And the first preseason game for the Tennessee Oilers at Dudley, the hottest game I've ever been to. Yes! We forget about sometimes about the hot weather. But, yeah, that was – was that when they played the Rams maybe over at
– or was it the Chargers?
That was a real game. This was preseason game. Okay. I think it was. I mean, that was something else. Matt in Nashville. Yeah, thank you, Matt. Earthquakes are geologic occurrences, not meteorological. Come on, guy. Matt, you're welcome to sit in when Mike Organ's not here. Exactly right for
Mike,
that.
Just know right now, Mike, in the three of us, it's 2-1. So we still out.
Absolutely. I don't care about it. I'm not going to let facts get in the way. another one over at Dudley, it's with Scott Ramsey coming on today, the first Music City Bowl.
Virginia Tech and Bama, right?
You remember the water was coming, it was cascading down on the stairs and freezing on its way down on the steps. That was a miserable game.
And then the next year they went over to...
they got out of there.
Yeah.
They went across the river the next year.
We got one more. Josh at Murfreesboro says, MTSU at Western Kentucky 2017. It was raining and freezing, and I had to sit in the open-air press box watching the Blue Raiders lose an overtime. Ouch. Mine is 9/11 happened in 2001. They postponed the Titans-Bengals game to the end of the year. So they played it in January. Both teams were terrible. That is the game where Perry Phoenix and Deron Jenkins got into a fight on the sidelines because they wanted a warm seat. That's the only game I've ever been to where I actually sat in the stands as a fan, and we were on the 50-yard line, and we watched the fight happen. Perry Phoenix, Deron Jenkins fought over a warm seat.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That is fantastic. I've never heard that.
Fight, like a brawl. And I'm like, and we're like, what's going on? And the word gets out later on, they're fighting for
I'd have just left if I was the one that didn't get the seat. I'd have just left. Nobody would have noticed.
3446 is Mike is a great guest. Love the story. Thank you. Is that you? Text again.
Yeah, I did that. You remember when I stepped out a while ago?
Or is that Rex Road? I can't. You guys are always doing something like that. 5364, Alabama versus Virginia Tech. Music City Bowl when it was at Vanderbilt my freshman year. Overcast, windy, and icing. DJ and Franklin. Do you remember the quarterback of Virginia Tech that day?
It was not the dogfighter.
He says it was Michael Vick.
I think Vic was on the team. I don't think he played. Did he? I don't recall.
I know he started next year. They went to the national championship the next year.
The next year, I know. Yeah. That was the big thing about the Music City Bowl was that it was always a prelude for great teams. They would play in the Music City Bowl one year, and the next year they'd win the national championship or play for it. But I can't remember if Vic – I don't think Vic was the quarterback on the field, but he may have been on the roster.
Okay.
But I remember, Joe, people were sitting in the stands, and like I said, it was raining first, and then it was freezing on the stairs. They felt like they were trapped because they couldn't they couldn't go down the stairs.
That's terrible.
So they're climbing over the seats, which didn't have rain. You know, they had not collected rain like the stairs had. It was terrible.
By the way, have you –
I took the elevator down for the press box. That was good.
We can talk about this later in the show, but the new Vanderbilt Stadium over there, They did that perfectly. It's damn nice.
Oh, I got, yeah.
The amenities, it's nice. I mean, it's really nice.
Yeah, I got to get over there. I haven't covered a Vanderbilt game this year. I do have a big game coming up there, though. The FCS National Championship will be there January 2nd.
That's right. We'll talk to Scott Ramsey about that. One more real quick. Again, what's the worst weather condition you've ever sat through? 615-737-1025. Call or text. Thomas on a car phone. I took my uncle to his first NFL game. It was a Monday night game against the Bears. I did not expect it to be cold, and we sat one row from the top. It was so cold that night that it was the rain where we were actually frozen. I could not get out of there quick enough. Also, the Buffalo game that Billy Volek got his spleen ruptured was another cold game. Thanks, guys. Yeah, that was in 2003, I think it was. And that was a heck of a game. All right, let us know. We've got to talk about a lot of college football today since Scott Ramsey's coming on. Mike Organ's here. We'll get into all this. Especially, I mean, Mike covered – how long were you the Vanderbilt beat writer?
10 years.
10 years.
10, 11 years. It was 92 to 02, 03, something like that.
Did we have therapy over covering that team, or did we need to get therapy?
I had five coaches and 27 wins in the decade that I covered them.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll talk more with Mike about that. A lot of college football. I want to hear from you. 615-737-1025, the Jason Big Joe Show, brought to you by our good friends at the Omni National Hotel, right here at 102.5 The Game. I got to turn the mic on. That's how it works. Sorry about that earlier, Mike. Welcome back to the Chase and McJoe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. He's going to give a TED Talk at the Rayon City Whataburger at 1 o'clock today. He's been going around giving these TED Talks, and they're really popular. So if you're out in Rayon City today at the Whataburger, stop by. And every time we do that, somebody's always like, is there what's going on? Like, yeah, he's out there at the Rayon
This guy
City.
Has so much on his wall in his office between all the Microsoft Office cloud storage stuff.
LinkedIn.
To LinkedIn. I mean, Mike, I'm not saying he's running circles around you, but
he is. He's laughing. I admit to that. Yeah, I heard him at his TED Talk at Crystal and Madison, and that's exactly, I just concluded, he told me what all he had, and I said, yeah, you got me beat.
Yeah, right, and doing that. We'll get to Vanderbilt football in 1 second. We're talking about the worst weather conditions you've been to at a sporting event. 0026 says, hey guys, really enjoy the show, especially Big Joe. I'm kidding. I grew up in Northeast Kansas, played in a high school game that was 36 degrees, rained 3 inches during the game. We won 6-0 in overtime. Josh and Gallatin, honorable mention was at Chiefs Dolphins playoff game. Could not even drink your beer. Hot coffee froze within minutes if not consumed. I ain't doing that.
No.
Josh and Gallatin. All right, thank you, Josh and Gallatin. I'm not going to a game and doing that.
Well, Joe, we've been spoiled. I mean, think about it. People always tell me how cold it is at games. You know, it's 72 degrees at every game I go to. I don't care where I go.
Right.
It's crazy how that works. I complained at Nissan Stadium 2 weeks ago because the vent above me was blowing cold air on me. And I got upset about it, and I moved.
Did you tell Jim Wyatt?
Jim
gets things done, man.
It wasn't a Titans game. Oh. It was a Tennessee State game. And I was upset, and I told him I wasn't coming back, and they fixed it. So, I mean, imagine if I ever had to sit out in that kind of stuff. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it.
No. I mean, look, if I am like a massive fan of that, I understand that. But last year when Tennessee played Ohio State in the playoff game and like the Vols came out with their shirts off, which was dumb. I was like, when they did that, I'm like, they're going to get their butt kicked, and they did. But just seeing all the people bundle up, I'm like, I get the experience. But after like 20 minutes, like, all right, I'm done.
I couldn't enjoy it. There's no way. First, I couldn't pay attention to it because I'd be so miserable. So, no, I'm not going to do it. And now it's so easy to sit in your living room and watch it on a big screen and go to your bathroom and go to the refrigerator.
All right there.
Yep.
Here's what I do love, though. The Buffalo Bills are building a brand new stadium, not a dome. It's like an open air.
Isn't that cool?
I love it.
I was going to say the Buffalo Bills was one of the greatest NFL games in bad conditions when O.J. Simpson went over 2,000 yards rushing.
Oh.
I remember it was on a 7-yard gain. I think it was against the New York Jets, and there was about 2 inches of snow, and he went over two. I don't remember how many yards he had that game. I still think he went over 100. He had like 125 yards, but it was it was snowing then.
He did that in 14 games.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key.
And that's the end of our O.J. talk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, when these guys are playing 17 games, I don't care. To me, and we've had this argument before with Dr. Crane and Chase, not with each other, but should NFL stats now come with an asterisk?
Absolutely.
Because you got 17 games to get 2,000 yards. OJ did it in 14. I know Dickerson did it in 16 and on and on. But now if you're adding more games, should there be an asterisk?
What is it now? 63 yards a game, something like that? Or
if that. I went to McGavick. I don't do math.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping Dr. Crane would jump in.
Yeah, he went to Father Ryan.
Sorry, see, I'm busy doing something else. What do we got here, gentlemen?
1,000 divided by 17.
Look at it. Look at his mind working.
He doesn't have a calculator in there?
Yeah, I got one on my phone. I'm trying to do it in my head.
I'm talking about one of those big calculators. Like,
well, the question is adding an asterisk.
Talking about the TI-84s? I don't got none of that.
Should have. Those things, by the way, are $400.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're expensive. One of those calculators are really, really expensive. While he's looking that up, did you ever fail a class in college?
No, I always dropped before I failed anything.
Smart. I went when I was at
Sanford. I never made a D because I dropped.
Good
Go
for
ahead.
You.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying when I was at Sanford, I signed up for a statistics class. And I truly thought that a stats class was, I'd go in the next day and they're like, True story. Hey, Dale Murphy went 2-for-4 last night and had 2 RBIs. What's he batting now? I am not kidding you. And I went to the teacher and I said, do I not need to get a newspaper? What is this? He's like, this has nothing to do with sports stats.
Stats was a hard class. I never took it. I remember all my friends that took it, and they hated it.
It was awful. Yeah, I'm like, you need me to keep batting percentages and, you know, 1,000-yard rush? I'll do that.
Yeah.
This other stuff, you can go to hell. What do we got?
58.8.
58.8 yards per game.
So basically 60 yards a game, you'll be 1,000. That there should be an asterisk beside that.
Yeah. So if you're carrying about 20 times a game, then you need to average 3 yards a carry to get to 1,000.
What is 1,500 divided into 17? Maybe 1,500 needs to become the new standard for rushing yards.
Yeah. I think it should be 2,000.
88.2.
How many?
88.2.
That's getting
all right, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
You have to give me 90 yards a game. And that'll get there.
Yeah.
But 58 yards a game? No, I ain't doing that.
No, that's a bad game. That's for a good running back. That's not even average.
No,
that's
not at all.
I won known tonight. You know.
Yeah,
I'll be better next game.
Yeah,
Lions
terrible.
Lions
got
to step up.
Yeah, they got to do that. No, we're gonna get into that Vanderbilt talk now. But you covered. Now you were not lying. You beat Ryder for 10 years.
I said 5 coaches. Okay, let's see. Jerry DiNardo, my first year.
Okay.
Only 1 year. Okay. Rod Dauhauer. My next year, only 2 years. So I had 2 coaches in 3 years, okay?
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Woody Woodenhofer, my next coach.
Oh my God.
I had 3 coaches in 3 years, or in 4 years, and Woody for 5 years, and then Bobby Johnson. So I had 4 coaches in 10 years, and I saw 27 wins and no bowl games.
That is just – so when you see what's happening now – it's got to blow your mind.
Me above anybody, because before that, I was the backup beat writer for Larry Woody, and they were worse under Woody than they were under me. So I saw bad football. You talked about the Cincinnati game when Watson came back. No, true story. Was it like the second or third game of the season? This was under DiNardo, and the kid from Franklin Road Academy, a tight end, caught a pass, ran 8 yards and stretched out and put the ball over the 50 at some point in the first quarter. It's the first time they've been across the 50 that year. The crowd, which was about 13,000, gave them a standing ovation, gave the offense a standing ovation when he reached out and did that.
Oh, my God. Who's the great photographer? Greg Pogue talks about it all the time. Vanderbilt, it was, I think when you were covering, they were getting beat 65-0. There was 2 seconds to go in the game, and on the crappy scoreboard at the end, it said, let's go offense. And Vanderbilt was, that's 94, I think it was. They got beat 65.
Wow. You know, Pogue and I went head-to-head at Vanderbilt for about 5
Let's
yards.
Let's go offense.
Wow. I did not know.
That's all that. But so when you see this now, and you know Clark Lee very well.
I covered Clark. Clark was a player when I was covering.
I mean, they're going down. They're 7-1, ranked 9th in the country. If they beat Texas, they've got a great inside track of making the college football playoff. And I never thought I'd utter those words on this radio station.
Oh, I never thought. And not only that. As bad as it had been when this new NIL and transfer portal and all that came in, I thought that was the end of Vanderbilt. I thought,
yes.
You know, Vanderbilt was just hanging on by a thread up to that point, and I thought, okay, that's it. That's, you know, at least now they have an out.
Yeah,
okay,
right?
You know,
they're out.
This is not their game. And for Clark to have done what he's done, initially being resistant, saying, you know, we're not going to do this transfer portal. We're still going to build traditionally and all that. And then to adapt. I loved when people adapt. That was a great thing about Don Meyer, the coach at Lipscomb, the legendary basketball coach, was he could adapt. He was a great fundamental defensive coach for a long time. Then the three-point shot comes in, and they're scoring 120 points a game. I love it when people are able to do that. They're not too hard-headed to say. Like Rod Dauhauer, who I mentioned, when he was at Vanderbilt, they'd been running the I-bone under Jerry DiNardo, which was basically the wishbone. They had no quarterback on the team. Not a traditional quarterback. They had guys that could hand off, pitch, and run. And he said right off the bat, he came from Cleveland as the quarterback's coach. He said, we're going to throw the ball and throw it downfield. And I said, well, coach, you don't have anybody on the roster that can do that. And he goes, we'll find somebody on campus that can. Well, he didn't, and he was gone in 2 years.
He didn't do that, did he?
No, he didn't.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
He tried. He was so hard-headed that for 2 years that's what he tried to do.
But I
love when people adapt like Clark has done. And not only, and it's just – now they're one of the top NIL programs, and, yeah, the future is so bright, and they got to do whatever it takes to keep Clark. When he came, I said there's no way Clark will ever leave. He's back home. Great family. I know his dad, a physician in town. a doctor in town. Great family, and I thought he's back. He's gonna, you know, ride out the string here. And but now I don't know. I mean, NFL's gonna come calling for him. He's gonna be up for a lot of these big jobs.
Never
with
say
what
never.
He's done. Absolutely.
And that's what I say when I go to eat Taco Bell. I'm like, I'm done. But never say
you
never.
And you
back.
Never do. You're always
real quick, Dr. Crane. Let's go to Luke for a question of the day. The worst sporting event weather wise you've ever sat through. Luke, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. December 30th, 1995. I lived in outside of Baltimore, Maryland. I traveled to Buffalo to watch the Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills. I had 6 layers of clothing on, and I've never been so cold I couldn't pee. I couldn't even go. There was no need to go. I was so cold, and it ended up being Don Shula's last game.
Oh, but are you glad you went, though?
The only reason I was glad I went is that my mother went with me. She was the reason I became a Dolphins fan. She loved Don Shula. She loved Dan Marino, and that's how I became a Dolphins fan. So, yes, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
So let me ask you real quick before you go, Luke. You know you could have gone to South Florida and saw Miami play, right?
Not a playoff game. Not a playoff game.
There you go.
Oh, that was a play. Oh, I forgot about that. That was a playoff game.
So Miami's not getting a lot of playoff games.
Oh, my gosh.
Time, right?
You're right. Oh, Luke, man, thanks for the call, brother.
Thank you.
All right, Luke, again, our question of the day is worst sporting event weather-wise you've ever sat through. Let us know, 615-737-1025. You can call us as well at 615-737-1025, Texas, wherever you want to do. We're here for you. Scott Ramsey from the National Sports Council joins us at 1 o'clock. Some big news happening over there with the bowl game and the FCS. We'll talk about that come up as well. This is Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel right here. A 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here at 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. He's prepping about 8 minutes away from getting his Rayon City TED Talk today as well. Mike Organ sitting in right now. We do a question of the day, and some days it's okay, and some days it just hits. And today it's hitting because a lot of people are weighing in because it's the weather is terrible outside today. MTSU's got a football game tonight. You can hear on Total Hits 93.3 with Chip Walters and myself. And it's raining. So it's going to be – come out in the game. If you love football, we'd love to see you there. So our question today is about weather-wise. What are you doing over there?
Nothing. I'm looking at the – I'm looking at us. I'm getting it on 102.5.
All right, so our question is today, worst sporting weather conditions for sporting event you've ever been to. 2197, Eli Manning and the Giants came to Green Bay for the NFC Championship, froze before he could get to your seat, but you knew that's going to happen in Green Bay to do all that. I remember that game. Isn't that the field goal they won and they went to the Super Bowl? That might have been the 07 game. Chad Alsop. Chad, I'm with Chad on this one. 2012 YMC under 6 soccer game, 32 degrees, rained the entire game, worst sports team in history. Yes, Chad, that was the worst. Chad, remember when everybody got into a fight, coaches and parents, and what did you and I do? We just kind of sat back and laughed. I'm not getting into a soccer fight. I'm not doing that. 8419 says the tight end Jason Tomachek.
Jason Tomachek, exactly.
See, I'm telling you, we have the best listeners on this station every day.
And I believe he's a doctor now. That's the texter. I think he's either a doctor or he's in medical supplies, but he's in the medical field.
Oh, nice.
Great, great guy.
9912, the Freeze Bowl. Oh, in 1982, Cincinnati versus San Diego. It was -9 with a wind chill of -60. I believe the week before, San Diego had beat Miami down in Miami. Then they'd go to play Cincinnati, and they lost that game as well. I'll do that. Jay from Laverne, thank you. Question of the day always hits big time. Big Joe. All right, Mike Organ covered the Vanderbilt football team for a long time, still with the Tennessean. What's the worst moment at Vanderbilt football you covered? The absolute worst moment.
Jason Tomachek stretching out for a first down and getting a standing ovation was pretty bad. They went to South Carolina and got run out of the house. It was in the 50s, 56, something like that. And after the game, Woody had a bad habit of telling me, I love people that are open. You know, like I love Nick Saban. Nick Saban, if you can get to him, gives you great quotes. Everybody talks about how he hates the media. He doesn't hate the media. He's just hard to get to.
Right.
Kyle Busch and NASCAR, same way. Woody was the same way, Woody Woodenhofer. And he told me after the game, he said, they quit on me tonight. And I think they did. and I wrote it. And of course that, you know, ruined my relationship with all the players, but that's what the coach said. And, you know, nobody ever says that. That's what they always say. Well, they got beat by 60, but they didn't quit. I give it to this team. You know, they that's what quit. They're saying about this Titans team now is that they don't, they, you know, they still got fight in them.
There's not a worse thing for a coach to say than my team quit on me.
And he said that that night. And I double checked him. I said, you sure you won't say that? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I think they quit on me tonight. And yeah, so,
oh.
And they played that rooster at South Carolina after every touchdown. Everybody's head was there. Everybody had headaches because they scored about 7 touchdowns. That was a bad time there. Seeing Watson get fired was a bad time because he had brought in a whole new staff that was a pretty good staff.
Right.
You wanted him another year. Not only had he been fired, not only did he get fired, we found out later that Jerry DiNardo had been on campus.
That was the weekend, the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, 1990.
Right.
Word got out before the game that Watson was done. Everybody like, what? You kind of thought he was, but – then it all blew up.
Yeah, Hope Hines reported it on Channel 5.
Hello, everybody, Hope Hines.
and then we found out that Jerry had toured the campus with Paul Houlihan a couple of weeks earlier or 10 days
earlier.
That's
terrible. And Jerry at the time was the offensive coordinator for the best football team in America, it was Colorado.
He was the assistant coach of the year. Athlons used to have the assistant coach of the year, which was a big deal, and Jerry had won that.
Right.
So it was a good hire, or, you know, on paper it was. And Jerry built a tough team that could win 5 games a year. But, yeah, that was sad to see that go down. There's no lack of sad moments.
When DiNardo left it, I know we got to break here in a moment, Dr. Crane, I apologize. When DiNardo left in 94, was Vandy 5-6? Not 5-6, because they were doing well. I mean, he got him respectable.
He left in, was it 94?
Yeah, because Dahar came in 95.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were, of course, they'd just gotten blown out by Tennessee, like 56-0, remember?
Yeah, yeah, it was bad.
So, because that's what LSU just went. I went to the press conference in Baton Rouge and radio, what was the WLVU?
WBL out of New Orleans.
Oh, gosh, they were just blistering LSU for hiring.
Because he had a losing record.
A losing record and coming off a 56-0 loss. And this was LSU. I mean,
but real quick, DiNardo said, he told you, didn't he, that he left Vanderbilt and didn't say goodbye to the players?
Oh, I was there. He was doing his goodbyes to his – not goodbyes, his season-ending interviews
right.
with players. And they had called me up and said, hey, yeah, after he gets to the last one, you can go in and interview him. Well, I'm with Sanford Ware. That's the W's. He was a wide receiver from Clemson, actually. Ware and I are sitting in the waiting room. And Jerry comes out. He goes, points to Ware and says, we're going to have to do this later. Looks at me and goes, I'll get in touch with you later. And leave.
You have any idea where he's going?
No. Okay. No idea whatsoever, because Steve Sloan had already been announced as the coach at LSU. Was it Sloan? Yeah.
No, it wasn't Sloan. Mike Archer just got fired.
Archer got fired, and it was a guy from Texas Tech. TCU.
He had gotten hired. Yep.
And they found out they couldn't. That they're gonna have to pay his buyout. And LSU said, "No, we're not gonna pay your buyout." And he didn't get the job. That was done. So after the AD, the old basketball coach Joe Dean, he had nobody left because he'd already been through everybody. He went back to DiNardo and said, "Hey, you still want this job?" He goes, "Yeah, I want it." And he called him while we were sitting out there, apparently, because Jerry got up and left and never came back. And the next day, I was in Baton Rouge, and Joe Dean and Jerry were hugging on stage.
Did DiNardo see you like, what are you doing here?
I think he knew I'd come. I mean, but we covered everything back then.
Wasn't that great?
It was incredible. Yeah, well, those were the days.
Checking flight logs.
Oh, gosh.
Good times. All right, Mike's going to stay another hour with us. Coming up next, Scott Ramsey for the National Sports Council. Big doings for the Music City Bowl, new sponsorship. And, of course, they're hosting the FCS Championship in January. We'll talk to Scott next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game.